Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
In mid-March, I was heading down the hill towards town, my bicycle's studded tires making a whizzing sound on the icy dirt road. I passed a house with a middle-aged man at the end of the driveway, next to a snowbank, his two small dogs on leashes. He was bent down a little, cleaning up after his dogs, I guessed at first. But something didn't quite look right. I braked, circled around, and came back. "Is everything okay?" I asked. He explained that he'd slipped on the ice, but only his pride was hurt. He said he'd hit his head, and he asked me to examine the back of his bald head for signs of injury. I saw a little blood, but less than a bloody nose usually produces. "Surprisingly little for a scalp wound," I told him. We talked a little, and then he thanked me for stopping and went into the house with his dogs. I got on my bike and continued into town. Not long after that, I read about actress Natasha Richardson's death from a head injury. She was skiing on the Bunny Hill, fell, and hit her head, apparently on just the snow. She was lucid after the accident, and an ambulance with paramedics was turned away. It seemed like a minor problem. Some hours later, resting in her hotel room, she took a turn for the worse. She was taken to a hospital where she died from the bleeding on her brain. It got me thinking. I screwed up in the assistance I offered to my neighbor, and he could have suffered Richardson's fate. Thinking about this incident has also given me another way of looking at many people's apparent indifference to the peak in world oil production, which probably occurred in 2008. The way I see it, declining world oil availability profoundly threatens the industrial economy that supplies us with everything, from heat and air conditioning to travel to food. We need to be using every economic resource now to build local economies based on renewable energy. As with Richardson, the cost of acting as if it's a minor problem could be death. Governments continue to invest in 20th century policies, like new roads and parking ramps, and subsidies for giant farms, when we need better train tracks and local farms and slaughterhouses and state meat inspectors. When we have half the oil available to us we have now, how will we keep warm in the winter, and where will we get the food to eat all year long? The situation is urgent, yet most people aren't making an all-out effort to turn it around. Most people continue with life as if deteriorating energy availability is a minor problem. What are the parallels between people's response to peak oil and my inadequate response to my neighbor's fall? Well, for one, I had to diagnose whether my neighbor's bent-down posture was normal or not. People bend down all the time, and it was logical to think that he would be doing that to pick up after his dogs. I passed that test coming back to talk to him. With peak oil production, until last year, there was almost no attention to it in the mainstream media or from our politicians. We were left to make the diagnosis ourselves, or more likely, listen to those people outside the mainstream who were talking about it. Once I learned that my neighbor had fallen and hit his head, I had to decide what to do. I found him lucid and hardly bleeding, so I left him to make his own way inside. I probably should have called 911 immediately. If nothing else, I should have administered a simple test EMTs use to gauge brain injury, asked him his name, where he was, and what day it was. I knew about the test, but just didn't think to use it. Why not? Partly lack of training. EMTs practice using their skills. They don't just read about them. And partly because I didn't have an external cue that this was a potential emergency situation. People fall on the ice and walk away fine all the time in a Vermont winter. With peak oil, people may read about responses, but most have not practiced gardening, bicycling, using herbs and healthy foods to maintain health or heal disease, and so on. And the emergency really hasn't been declared on the energy front either. Last summer, Brian Duby, as Lieutenant Governor of Vermont, declared a fuel emergency and got quite a bit of attention to the potential catastrophe of super high fuel prices for the winter. But few other prominent people have used the word emergency or responded accordingly. I talked to my neighbor again the other day. He thanked me for stopping, and I was relieved to hear that he'd had no symptoms after the fall, other than some terrible headaches. He moved into that house relatively recently, and I haven't talked to him except for these two times. Maybe it's time I have a chat with him about peak oil and its urgent consequences. I'm Carl Ettenayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.